Okay, we're going to begin here, five lines down on the top of Pei Aleph and Aleph. The Gemara begins, Shalchu mitam. They sent from over there, Hizaru birbuvita. Be careful with the ubervita. That is what we discussed in yesterday's daf. At the end of yesterday's daf, the Gemara brought from the Memra of Shmuel three types of irbuvita, which was dirt, soil, or not cleaning or cleansing oneself. So there we saw it with regards to the goof of the person. We saw it with regards to the clothing of the individual. We saw it with regards to the hair of the individual. And so over here, from Eretz Yisrael, they sent the Bavel, be careful of this irbuvita because it has negative consequences, and therefore be careful. One should tend to themselves, one should take care of their hygiene and the cleanliness of their clothing so that it doesn't result in the negative outcomes that are explained by Shmuel. Hizaru b'chabura. One should be careful to, according to the Rishonim here, learn b'chabura. One should learn together with others and not alone, because as the Farash over here explains, She'en adam mitpalpel el mitoch limud chaveiro. Person isn't grow or able to exchange ideas and develop things except with another party. Or the way that the Ran suggests over here, Talmidim mechadadim zed zeh, because the students sharpen each other, v'etarav, and the teacher themselves. So the interaction between the parties in the chabura generates a better outcome from all the parties involved, and therefore one should be careful to learn b'chabura, not learn by themselves. The other way you could interpret it is, hizaru b'chabura, is be careful who you hang out with. Your friends are important, or who your friends are important, and therefore be careful as to the company that you keep. And then the last one, which is going to launch us into the Agadato, hizaru b'bnei aniyim shemehen teitze Torah. Be careful with the children of the poor or the impoverished, because from them Torah will emanate. Shneamar, the pasuk says, "Izal mayim midalyav," that it will pour out the water from the buckets. You see that the girsa, the Mesorot Hashas, brings from the Ein Yaakov that it's a play on the word midalyav, means midalim. Shemhem teitzei Torah. From those that are poor, Torah will emanate, and here the word mayim is used to represent Torah, and that Torah will emanate from those that are poor. The Mefaresh over here explains, Shelo yehu kalim b'neichem lamdeim Torah. You shouldn't dismiss them, or it shouldn't be beneath your dignity to teach them Torah, because the future of Torah, in a sense, rests upon them, because from them Torah will come out. So Rashi says it as a warning to the teachers, not to be dismissive of those that are impoverished or those that are poor, because they will make good students, and in the end, they will be the leadership of the next generation. On the other hand, the Ran over here explains, you should be careful with Bnei Anim, the Hishtadel Lamdam Torah, Shmehem Tetzei Torah, Shenlem Esak Acher. They have no other preoccupation. Va'od Shedatam Shvela Alehem. And in addition to that, they are Anavim, humble, and that humility grants them the right or the ability to be Talmidei Chachamim. So over here you have two sides to this. There's a warning to the teacher to treat them with respect. There's also an indication as to why they will be the most successful over here, is because they have certain features or character traits that will help them be successful. One is they have no distractions or preoccupations because of their poverty. In addition, because of their poverty, they're not haughty or they don't think so highly of themselves. And that allows them to be the kli or the vehicle for the Torah to reside. And that's why they will be successful as Talmidei Chachamim. And the Maharal, in explaining this phenomenon, says that the individuals who are humble or have humility are the ones that are ra'oi l'kabel azera yon anivdal lo ha'ashir. And we're going to delve into this more deeply with regards to the Maharal, but every individual is made up of a Seichel and Chomer, made up of a more esoteric, spiritual side, and then a more physical side. And the two together are what generate the power of the individual. And so therefore, you have to be both from the physical side, a Kli, that is Mikabel, and able to accept the spiritual side and the Seichel. And that needs a certain amount of preparation, which comes in the form of midot, character traits that are those of anav, as well as a sort of ascetic type of approach to the world where one is not too steeped in the physical pleasures of the world, which will distract them or deny them the ability to accept the Torah that is spiritual. So that's from the perspective of the Ani. The Ani has those qualities which will allow them to be the Kli Kibul of Torah. And that's why it means, Hizaru, Bibnei Aniim, should be careful with the Bnei Aniim, because Mehem Tetzei Torah. They will be the proponents, leaders of Torah in the upcoming generation. Umipnei ma ein mitzuim talmid chacham, let's say talmid chacham bibnehem. Why is it the case that we don't find that talmidei chachamim have children who are also talmidei chachamim? Now, of course, this is not an absolute certainty, and there are many Torah families and families who have parents who are talmidei chachamim, and children who are talmidei chachamim, and even third or fourth generations of talmidei chachamim. So it's not a statement of fact that there won't be, but on a percentage basis, the success is much lower given the tremendous level of a Talmud Chacham and the Talmidei Chachamim. Why don't we see a better success rate with their children than in reality? When you look around, we see many times that there's a failing there or that the children do not follow in the path of the parents. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, Shlo Yomru Torah Yerushahi Lahem. So they don't say that Torah is something that is inherited. The Rosh over here brings two explanations. One, the Mefaresh, Tosfot gives this, and the Ran gives an alternative explanation. But the two explanations are either that the children of the Talmidei Chachamim shouldn't think it's a Yerusha to them, that they are inheritors of the mantle of Torah, and therefore they don't have to make the effort or put in the toil in order to learn Torah, because it's a Yerushalayim. So in order to dismiss that type of thinking, we have those individuals who fail to become Talmidei Chacham or follow in their parents' ways to show that that's not the case. Each individual's got to make their effort and invest their time in order to be a Talmidei Chacham, and there is no Yerusha with regards to Torah. The other possibility is for people from the outside. The people on the outside shouldn't think that it's pointless for them to study Torah and to invest in the Torah, because it's a Yerusha. You see that a Talmid Chacham has a child who's a Talmid Chacham, has another child who's a Talmid Chacham, and since we are outsiders, or we are not Talmidei Chachamim, there's no chance for us to break in, or we can't be successful, or it's not possible for us to reach those levels. So we see the opposite happen, which is that the children of Talmidei Chachamim don't automatically become Talmidei Chachamim, or many of them don't follow in the footsteps of their parents. And that shows you that Torah is not about Yerusha, not about the parent, it's about the investment that one makes in the Limud of Torah, and that will determine their success. Yeah, that's talking about when you say Torah Tzivilan Moshe Marasha, Kilat Yaakov, over there, first of all, the word Marasha is a difficult word to translate, but leaving that aside, there we're talking about it as a Marasha to Klal Yisrael as a whole. They're not talking about it to specific individuals. Over here, we're talking about specific individuals. Klal Yisrael as a whole, or the inheritors, or the upholders of the Torah, and that is true on a generic sense of all of Klal Yisrael. But over here, we're talking about on an individual level, and no individual can assume that it's a Yerusha for them. So it belongs to Klal Yisrael as a whole, but every individual then has to work to make it into their own Yerusha. Okay, Rav Sheshet Brei de Ravidi Omer, or Rav Shisha Brei de Ravidi Omer, Kedei, Shelo Yigadru Al Tzibur, so that they do not lord over the Tzibur. Because if they see that generation after generation that they are Talmidei Chachamim and part of the leadership, then they will begin to lord over the Tzibur. And again, it's only a natural outcome that that will happen. It's not necessarily that they're doing it intentionally, but when you have this type of Shoshelet, it happens naturally that people are always in those positions of leadership, then begin to lord over the Tzibur. Marzutra Amar B'Pnei Shehein. And over here, there's a machloket in the Girsa, whether it's Mitgabrim or Mitgadrim, which is would be the same Lashon as before, Mitgadrim ala Tzibur, because they did lord over the Tzibur. So as the Marsha points out over here, the difference between these two Lashonot is in the first Lashon, it's a preventative measure, which is that in order to prevent that Aveira from happening, Hashem doesn't allow the Torah to pass as a Yerusha from the father to the child, or from the Talmid Chacham to produce children that are always Talmidei Chachamim. And the second Lashon says it's a punishment, because they do lord over the Tzibur, therefore they're punished, and it's Midah Keneged Midah. They're lording over the Tzibur because of their position or because of their Torah, therefore it will not pass down to their child, or their child will not necessarily follow in their ways. Rav Ashi Omer, Mishum Dekor Le'inch Chamarei, because they call people donkeys, which obviously is a pretty negative terminology, and seems to be inappropriate for someone who is a Talmid Chacham. The way that Maharsha explains it, Ki'ilu heim b'teva b'riyah einam ru'im l'chokhma, ki b'riyah tachamor hazeh, that maybe there is some sort of difference, genetic makeup that makes us capable of learning Torah, makes those other parties incapable of learning Torah, or rising to the spiritual heights of those that learn Torah. So they see this as being not a difference in the opportunity granted or the investment made, but rather that there's something inherently different about these individuals. And so therefore they look down or in a patronizing manner towards those other parties, as if they're like chamorim, that they just, like donkeys, they don't have the capacity or the capabilities to do this. And therefore, the outcome of the Midah Keneged Midah is that they don't have Talmid Chachamim, d'lifi da'atam, p'teva b'riyah, hamolid b'domeh. Because what your thought process is, or the thought process of such a Talmid Chacham, is that there is a natural course where someone who is a Talmid Chacham should produce another Talmid Chacham. So what happens is, the opposite will hit around. That instead of it naturally following from them that there will be Talmid Chachamim, their children are not Talmid Chachamim, and those that they called Chamorim, from them rise the Talmidei Chachamim, to dismiss this type of thinking or this type of approach, which sees people as being somehow gifted or unique in their ability to engage in Torah, and others lacking in that capacity. As I said before, the Maharal plays on this idea of the interplay between the Seichel and the Chumriyot, and he writes over here that the reason Da, ki gvayit v'ber, ki ha-Talmid Chacham ba'am, hu kamo ha-Seichel b'guf ha-Adam. The Talmid Chacham amongst the people is the equivalent to the Seichel within the individual. So the more intellectual, the more spiritual side of the individual, when that's true within a person, it's also true of the people as a whole. And the Talmid Chacham for Klal Yisrael as a whole represents that aspect of spirituality and Seichel of the And even though the seichel is something that's granted from God, it's from the spiritual side, nevertheless, it's not detached completely from the body. And there is this interplay or symbiotic relationship between them. If it was true that a Talmid Chacham would always produce another Talmid Chacham, then you would have something that is spiritual. I mean, and since they are the spiritual representative of Klal Yisrael, producing something spiritual, ad she'eh nivdal legamrei min haklal, until the point where they'd be totally separated from the klal as a whole. Kasher yaseichel mitoch seichel. Just like something spiritual produces something else spiritual, which is more and more removed from that which is physical. So just like the seichel of the individual has to be attached to the guf, so too, the Seichel of Am Yisrael, I mean, the Talmid Chachamim, have to be attached to the Guf, which means the Klal. They have to be attached to Klal Yisrael as a whole, and they can't segregate or separate themselves out. And all of these items that we just mentioned are expressions of that separation. Whether it is that they call the other people Chamorim, as if they are the Seichel, and the Chamorim, which is the word Chomer, the physical side of Klal Yisrael, the remainder of Klal Yisrael is segregated or separate from them, or whether it's because they're lording over them, or they possibly could lord over them, all of those represent this idea of the Talmid Chacham somehow segregating himself from the Klal, or distinguishing himself from the Klal, and that is problematic, because just like the Seichel Eluki can't live without the Guf, so too the Talmid Chacham, which is the Seichel of Klal Yisrael, can't live without its Guf, without Klal Yisrael as a whole. And so the Talmid Chacham has to be what we call Me'urav im Abriyot. He has to be amongst the people. He has to be a person of the people. He can't be someone who is living in his ivory tower, someone who is completely detached and devoid of any connection to the klal. And all of these statements over here represent such an idea. And so too, with regards to the Talmud Chacham that was born of a Talmud Chacham, the more and more you have that shelet of Talmidei Chachamim, the more likely that the next generation will be more and more segregated from the klal, from the people, because their father already is distinguished or unique, and then they will follow in those footsteps, as opposed to the originator or the one who starts from scratch. He grows up in the klal. He's a part of the klal, and therefore he's not distinct or separate from the klal. And so for that reason, you'll have the Talmidei Chachamim coming from the Bnei Aniyim, and you won't have the Talmidei Chachamim continuing from those that are already Talmidei Chachamim. That's the way the Maharal explains this phenomenon. Ravina Omer, Ravina says the reason that Talmidei Chachamim don't produce other Talmidei Chachamim, she'ein mivachim b'torat chila, because they don't make Birkat HaTorah. Now the Gemara is going to bring an agadato about Birkat HaTorah, and we have to explain why it is, or what is driving this lack of Birkat HaTorah, and why is that so important. So we'll see many interpretations of this, but we'll read the agadato first, and then we'll come back and discuss it in more detail. Da'amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Mai Dichtiv. What is meant by the pasuk that is found in Yirmiyahu Tet? Yirmiyahu Tet is the Haftorah that we read on Tisha B'Av, because over there it describes about kinot and bechi and crying, mispeid, al destruction. It describes the destruction that will be, and it also says the reason for that destruction. So in a short piece from that perek in Perek Tet of Yirmiyahu, we'll just read a couple of psukim. It says, El harim eseh bechi v'nehi. So again, this is the source for kinot, or the fact that we say kinot on Tisha B'Av, is that we cry, v'nehi, and we call out on the ot midbar kina, that the midbar now is raising its voice, b'kina, kinitzu mibli esh over, because they have been emptied, desolate of any passerbys. V'lo sham'u kol mikneh, they don't hear any of the flocks. From the bird of the sky to the animals down below, they have wandered away, they have gone. There is not a sign of life left in the desolation of what was once Eretz Yisrael, was once the home to the Jews. Natate Yerushalayim the Galim. Yerushalayim will be heaps. Ma'on Tanim, a dwelling place for serpents. And the cities of Yehuda will become desolated without any civilization. Who is wise enough and will understand this? That the word of Hashem is spoken to him, and he will make it known. Why was the land lost? Lost here, avda, meaning destroyed, lost. Nitzdaka midbar, made desolate like the desert, mibli over, without any passerbys. Bayomer Hashem, Hashem answers the question, alazvam et torati asher natati lihem, because they forsook the Torah that I had given to them. Velo shamu bikoli, they didn't listen to my voice. Velo alchu ba, and they did not walk in its ways. Ve'elchu achrei shrirut libam, they went after the ways of their hearts. Ve'achrei ha'be'alim asher limdum avotam, and the Avodah Zarah that was passed down to them from their forefathers. There is a description, first of all, of the tremendous destruction and desolation that will be wrought upon Eretz Yisrael and Klal Yisrael. But more importantly, the answer to the question about why. Why does this happen? Hashem says, because alazvam torati, because they left my Torah. So now the Gemara darshins that, and we'll see the different Rishonim's approach to this. Mi ha'ish hecham ve'avenet zot. Davar zeh nishal chachamim. This question was asked to the chachamim, because it says, mi ha'ish ha'chacham ve'aven et zot, u'le-nevi'im, and also to the nevi'im, because the pasuk says, asher diber Hashem elav v'yagida, the one who speaks the word of Hashem, and then will speak up, those are the nevi'im, and there is a girsa that also asks, u'le-malachei ha'sharet, and to the malachei ha'sharet, that know the word of Hashem, v'lo pershu'um, and they could not explain why this had happened. Ad shepirshu HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'atzmo, until Hashem himself spoke up, dichtiv, v'yom Hashem al azvam et torati v'chule, that they left my Torah. Now, the pasuk, in a sense, repeats itself. It says, The reason that this happened is because Alazvam Torah, Vayom Hashem Alazvam Torati, Hashem Natati Lifneim, Velo Shamu Bekoli, Velo Halchuba. Seems like three times we repeat the same thing, that they just didn't listen to God. So Hainu Lo Shamu Bekoli, Hainu Lo Halchuba. So why is there a repetition over there? Ella, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, the reason being, which was what Ravina said before, She'ein Mevarchim B'Torah Tchila, that they don't make the Birkat Torah before they learn. So here, the Gemara suggests in the Agadato that these psukim cannot be taken at face value, but rather the explanation of what it means, Alazvam Torati, cannot be simply that they left the Torah or the learning of Torah, either because it's just too simple, then why wouldn't the Chacham and the Navi and the Malachi Asherit understand that or be able to grasp that? Why do they need Hashem to explain it to them? It would be apparent and obvious that that was the case. Or because of the repetition within the Pasuk that it says that they left the Torah, they didn't listen to my word, they didn't follow my ways. The repetition over there seems to suggest that it was more than just simply they didn't follow the Torah, but there was something more nuanced that explains why this all happened, and that's what Hashem is coming to indicate, was that Shelo Barchu B'Torah Tchila. They didn't make a bracha on the Torah beforehand. Now, what does that mean, or why is that so bad? Mefaresh over here, in his explanation, makes it somewhat innocuous. It's not really such a bad thing, and so therefore it's hard to understand why Hashem would have been so angry about this. But he says, Metoch, Shein Zirin Lasok B'Torah, since they are so careful to always be learning Torah, Regilim Ba, and they are so engrossed in it and engaged in it all the time, Inan Zirim Levarech, Kishpotchim. So they don't make the bracha when they start. Lo Mekayma Birkata. And therefore they do not have the bracha that comes to them, which is in Birkat HaTorah we say, Yinei Anachnu V'Tzetzeinu V'Tzetzei Amcha Beit Yisrael. That bracha that is found in Birkat HaTorah does not come upon them, because they don't make the bracha that would grant them that bracha. So over here, the Mefaresh is explaining why Talmidei Chachamim don't have children that are Talmidei Chachamim, which is what Ravina was coming to explain. It doesn't explain why that was such a grave problem that led to the Churban of Eretz Yisrael. That he's not explaining. But he's explaining why their lack of Birkat HaTorah leads to the fact that they don't have children that follow in their ways of the Torah. The Balei HaTosafot over here say they don't make the bracha on the Torah, k'shem mashkimim l'umot Torah. When they get up to learn Torah, they don't make Birkat HaTorah. Now, again, he doesn't explain why that has impact. He just says that that was the fact that they didn't make the bracha. And the Ran over here explains that what's the problem? The problem is that she'em evarchim Torah tchilat, tchilat iskam b'chol yom. That that was not the first thing that they engaged in each day. Dainu lasok b'divrei Torah. Ve'evnav asher b'char banu. Now, and from here it sounds like that the problem was that they did not make Birkat HaTorah when they let off their day. That was not the opening salvo of their day. And there's something problematic with that. And the Ran queries over here and says, I'm not sure I understand why this is so problematic. What is this that is so important? Now he says that it's a diuk out of the fact that nobody else knew it and Hashem had to explain it. But still, why is this so significant? So he says, he quotes, Umatzati migilat starim shel Rabbeinu Yona. Tikra hachi dayik. This is the diuk of the pasuk. Tashalo barchu b'torah tchila avda aretz. Di'im ital azvam b'torati. If the reason that they really were being punished here is because they left the ways of the Torah, kipashta mashma shazvu at the Torah v'yoskim ba, shala chachamin nirvim, lama lo pershu'um? Why don't they explain it? Lo davar galuya ya v'kalufresh. Ella, vaday oskim ayu b'torah tamid. They were steeped in Torah. They learned Torah all the time. Ufika chayu chachamin nirvim t'meim, amav da'aretz. That's why they had no clue why the land was being destroyed. Look at all the Torah. Look at all the Talmidei Chachamim. What's the explanation for the fact that the land is being destroyed at this point if they are learning so much Torah? The answer he brings is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu explains, Klomar, Vaita Torah Chashuva Beinem Kokach She'ra'ui Levarech Aleha. They didn't see Torah as being so significant that they should make a brach on it. Shelo Hayu Oskim Ba Lishma. They were not Osek in the Torah Lishma. Mitoch kach hayu mizalzalim bebirkata. And therefore they were mizalzel in the bracha. Vayinu lo hochuba, klomer bekavanata, velishma. Elu divrei harav hachasid zal. These are the words of Rabbeinu Yonah. Vehem na'im. They are wonderful explanation. Ru'im, lemisha amram. Appropriate for the one who said them. So the Ran gives strong accolades to the Rabbeinu Yonah's explanation over here that the failure was not in Limud HaTorah, but the failure of Birkat HaTorah is evidence of the fact that they did not give enough significance or see the significance of Limud HaTorah. Rather, they treated Limud HaTorah like another subject, like any other subject that was out there, any other intellectual pursuit that they had. Torah was no different than anything else they pursued in their lives, but just part of their lives. Or they used it as a vehicle to get kavod. They used it as a manner to lord over the tzibur. Whatever the reason that they learned Torah, it wasn't lishma. It wasn't for the right reasons of limud Torah that brings the individual to understand the significance of Torah, which is the birkat Torah, which grants that individual that understanding. The Marsha over here offers an interesting interpretation. He says, Shelo Baruchu Bara Torah Tchila. We have a din that a Talmud Chacham is not allowed to allow a Kohen Ama'aretz to get an Aliyah before him. A Talmud Chacham gets first rights on the Aliyah before a Kohen Ama'aretz. And the Gemara says, if a Talmud Chacham allows a Kohen Ama'aretz to go before him, Chayav Mita. So the Marsha explains why is that. Because when the outsiders or the Ama'aretz see this happening, they will not see the power of Torah or the greatness of Torah if the Talmud Chacham doesn't go first. And so it says, Shelo Baruchu Torah Tchila, was that they didn't demand for Kavod HaTorah that the Talmud Chacham get the first Aliyah, but rather they let the Kohen Ama'aretz go first. And that way, it, in a sense, denigrated the status of Torah or the stature of Torah in the eyes of the Am, and that was their failure. Not that they didn't learn Torah, but they didn't convey the importance and the kavod that is associated with Torah to the Ama'aretz. And then literally, that's what the Marsha says, Shelo Baruchu Torah Tchila. Tchila here means literally, first. They were not the first ones to make the bracha on the Torah, the first ones to get the Aliyah. The Maral over here explains, he says, V'yesh l'shol machar ki berkat ha-Torah hi mitzvah levarech b'Torah Tchila. V'imkein, lama lo ayu mevarchim b'Torah? If they were so steeped in Torah, and they were doing all the mitzvot, then why would they take exception to this one mitzvah of making Birkat HaTorah? And so the Maral says there's no way that they didn't make Birkat HaTorah. Birkat HaTorah is like any other mitzvah, and they conduct themselves, and they did do all the mitzvot of Torah, and Birkat HaTorah were no different than that. So then, Aval, Perush Davar Zeh, Ki Bevadayu Mevarchim B'Torah Tchila B'Feh V'Gam B'Lev. They did it with the full mouth, with a full heart. Rak, they did not acknowledge Hashem's tremendous chesed and tremendous gift that he granted us in giving us the Torah and coming from Mar Har Sinai. In a sense, they didn't have the proper hakarat tov to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So even though they were making the Birkat HaTorah, they didn't acknowledge how much Hashem had given us with that gift or that grant of the Torah. So you have to give bracha to Hashem based on the amount or the benefit that one gets from it. So if you make a bracha on things that are physical, then here on the Torah, which we have the Godel HaTova Bracha Shua Torah, Shnatan Hashem Yitbarach Lisrael, Lo Ayu Mevarchim Kol Kach B'Chol Lev. Their Birkat HaTorah did not match the type of Hakarat HaTov they should have had for HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us the Torah. And therefore they fell short in their Birkat HaTorah, and since they did not have that proper Hakarat HaTov, they did not acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly. They were not attached to the Torah properly. Therefore, they didn't have other Talmidei Chachamim, because there was a deficit in their Limud HaTorah, because they didn't have the proper Hakarat HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or acknowledgement about what the significance of Limud HaTorah is and the impact that it has on the individual. And the same thing would be true with the Churban HaAretz that resulted from this is because even though they kept, we'll call it the letter of the law, and maybe even the spirit of the law, they didn't understand the significance of their position as those that are Talmidei Chachamim and Lomdei HaTorah. They didn't understand what responsibility they had, as well as how much Hakarat HaTov they had to give to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And here the Bach writes about this. Says, V'ika litzmoa tuva. Lama yatzak azot min lefanav, lahanisham ba'onish gadol v'ram kazeh shalo barchu b'tarat chila. Doesn't seem that the punishment matches the violation. They don't make birkat the Torah, and therefore the land is destroyed. Shul l'chora avira kala. Seems like a small slight. Nirad the kavanatoid brach, ma'olam haita shnei oskim b'Torah, kedei shetit atzeim nishmatenu b'atzamot, ruchoniot ukdushat mekor motzea Torah. That the purpose of Torah is to develop the individual, to strengthen their spiritual ties, and to bring the spirituality into the world. V'chein natan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Torah temet l'Yisrael b'matanah in a gift, so that we will not forget it. Kedei shetidabek nishmatenu b'gufenu. That our bodies and our spirit, our neshamot, will be connected to the Torah. V'im hayu oskim b'Torah al kavanah zot, hayu heima merkava. They would be the merkava v'echal l'shkenato itbarach. They would be the carriers or the bringers of spirituality into the world. Shaita shchina mamash b'kirbam k'echal Hashem. And the Hashem would be amongst them. The Shechina would be present there, like as if they were echal Hashem heima. U'b'kirbam mamash shaita shchina kovat dirata. Hashem would make his abode amongst them. Ha'aretz kula hayta me'ira mikvodo. And the land would be alight with the kavod of Hashem. U'b'zeh yeh kishur l'palmal yeshamala im palmal yeshamata. And that would generate the connection between the physical world below and the spiritual world above. V'ya mishkan echad. The idea that the Beit HaMikdash Shemala is above the Beit HaMikdash Shemato, and that they would be one, that there would be no separation between them. Aval ata shavru chok zeh shelo asku b'Torah kim l'tzorach hadvarim agashmiim l'hanatam. But because they took up the limud Torah not with the proper frame of mind or with the proper purpose, that they used it for their own benefit or for their personal gain or for their personal pleasures or for their enjoyment of the limud, rather than to heat that same litvabek b'pushat v'ruchaniyot, rather than to develop the connection between the spiritual world and the physical world, olam shicha shchina lamata, and bring the shchina down to this world, kadesh taleh nishmatam l'madrigah gdola, and to raise their spiritual standing after they passed away, that failure made it almost a given that the land would be left desolate, because they basically failed to bring the spirituality into the physical world. And so all that was left was that physical. And when the physical is left without any spiritual side to it, that's shmama, that's churban, that's aveda. That's the result of the lack of spirituality that's there. And therefore the Bach over here explains that the lack of Birkat HaTorah was evidence of the fact that, like, similar to what the Rabbeinu Yonah said and the Maral said, it was evidence of their attitude towards the Torah, that they weren't learning for the right reasons, or they were not using the Torah as a vehicle to bring spirituality down into the world. And that failing is what made it, almost as the Bach says over here, that by nature the land would be destroyed, or the land would be desolate, because it lacked into the spirituality and the Shekhinah that needed to reside there, which was the whole purpose of Klal Yisrael and the Torah. So here you have a mix of views about exactly what the problem was or what the issue was. I think the common denominator between them is that people have to understand the tremendous gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us in the Torah, the responsibility that comes with Limud HaTorah and being steeped in Torah, and the understanding that Torah is not simply another subject or a means for one to gain, but rather it's Hashem's gift to allow us to grow spiritually, to bring the presence of God into the world, and to make us better people, and to give Hakarat HaTov to Hashem for the opportunity that He grants us. And so our attitude towards Limud HaTorah is almost as important as the Limud HaTorah itself. And Birkat HaTorah is the evidence of that fact. And all of these things are embedded in the Birkat HaTorah. Asher bachar banu mikol amim, v'natan lanu et torato. The choice of Klal Yisrael, the granting of us the Torah, that's the tremendous Hakarat HaTov we have to have. And then varev na, the idea that we have to learn Torah lishma, and that we have to pass it down to our children. All of those ideas are embedded in Birkat HaTorah. And the failure to either say Birkat HaTorah or to understand the significance of Birkat HaTorah is to miss all of these points in the Limud HaTorah. And now the Gemara continues with the story that connects back to the Gemara that we left off with, which is Isi Bar Yehuda lo ata lemitivta de Rabbi Yosi talata yomi. He was absent from the Beit Midrash for 3 days. Ashkechei Vardimos by Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi's son Vardimos caught up with him. Rashi claims that he's the Rabbi Menachem by Rabbi Yossi, that who's this Vardimos was. Amalei, my time, loati mar, the Bay Midrusha, the Abba, hat lata yomin. We noticed that you've been absent for the last 3 days. How come you haven't come to the Bay Midrash? They were taking attendance, and he's been out for the last 3 days. Amalei, ki ta'amei davuch lo yadana. I don't understand the reasoning behind your father's positions. Hey chayitai, how can I go? How can I attend the Beit Midrash if I don't understand what's going on in this Beit Midrash? Amalei, lema amar, maika amalei, dilma yadana tamei. Why don't you tell me what you heard from my father that you don't understand and maybe I can help you out? Amalei, had the tanyo. I had this brighta from your father, Rabbi Yossi Omer, kvisatan kodmin chaye acherim. That when it comes to competition or a choice between the laundering of one city's clothing and the survival of the other city, we grant the right of laundering to the first city even over the survival of the other city, which seems to be something that is strange, something that you would not have thought of, and therefore krami nolan. What's the source for that? You can't just make something up like that. You have to have some basis for saying such a thing. Amalei dichtev, because it says in Bamidbar, when it talks about the Arei Halevi'im, it says, Vayu ha'arim lahem lashevet, they will dwell amongst these cities of the Levi'im, umigrish shehem, and the fields around it, the areas around those cities, yulabam tam, will be for their animals, ulurukhusham, and their possessions, ulukhol chayatam, and all of their chayot. So now Gemara says, umigrishem yulabam tam, my chayatam. What is meant at the end of the pasuk, ulukhol chayatam? If you mean literally animals, wasn't that already subsumed under the term yudabam tam? So why do you need chaya separately? Elamai chayatan, chiyuta mamash. You want to say the chayatam means for their survival, for their ability to live? Shita. Of course, you don't have to tell me that in the pasuk. Ela lav kvisa. It must be referencing kvisa over here. Daika tsaro di irbuvita. Because of what we said before, that if one does not launder their clothing on a regular basis, it results in a difficulty to the individual. The pain that comes from Ruvita, which we saw before, was Shimumita. The person loses their mind, goes insane, and therefore there's a hint in the Pasuk to this idea that Chayatam goes first, whether that's because the word Chayatam is extraneous, or the word Chayatam needs to explain or gives a meaning of chiyut, the ability to live or to thrive, and that is only with the person who has clean clothing or cleans their body and cleans their clothing, can they live a normal life or conduct themselves in a normal manner, and that's what the word chayatam or chiyut comes from. Now the Gemara goes back to the Mishnah in which Rabbi Yossi rejects the position of the Chachamim and says, "Rabbi Yossi en elu nidrei inui nefesh." You described in the Mishnah is not inui nefesh. Chachamim described imerchatz, imlo erchatz, imet kashet, imlo et kashet. Yesterday's daf, we spent time understanding what exactly those nidarim were, but Rabbi Yossi outright rejects those as being nidrei inui nefesh. And the Gemara wants to know, Ibailu, the Rabbi Yossi mahu. What's the din according to Rabbi Yossi? She efer mishum dvarim shebeino lebeina. Maybe it's not inui nefesh, but at least it should be something that inhibits or impedes their marital relationship. And therefore, he should be able to be made for the neder, not because it's inui nefesh, but simply the fact that it makes it difficult for them to coexist. So Tashma, I'm Rabbi Yossi, ein elu nidrei inui nefesh. Aval, dvarim shveino dveina, havyon. So we have it explicit over here, that Rabbi Yossi, or you can be medayek out of the Mishnah, when he says, ein elu nidrei inui nefesh, that means that they're not nidrei inui nefesh, but they are problematic because of veino dveina. Gemara says, no, dilma, lididhuka amarduhu. Maybe Rabbi Yossi is addressing the position of the Chachamim. Lididi, afilu dvarim shveino dveina lo havyon. In my position, these are not only not inu nefesh, but they're also not beino de beina. Lididchu, according to your position, damritu havyan nidre inu nefesh, that you think they're inu nefesh, odili dein elu nidre inu nefesh. You should admit to me that these aren't inu nefesh, they should be beino de beina. So Rabbi Yossi might argue on the whole position entirely, but to the Chachamim he's saying, I can't agree with you that even if you have a position and differs from me, I can't agree that it's inu nefesh. At least admit to me that it's only beino de beina. My, what's the din? What is Rabbi Yossi's position with regards to whether these are beino de beina? Rav Adar bar Ava omer mefer. He has the right to be made from the nether. It means they are deemed to be Bein Ol Bein Ah. Rav Huna Omer, Ein Mefer. Rav Huna says that they are not considered to be Bein Ol Bein Ah. And you can't be Mefer. Why? Shalom Atzinu Shual Shemet Bafar Pir. Because we never find a fox that dies in the dirt of his own hole. So even though the dirt might not be clean, it might be disgusting, it might be whatever it is, but because he grew up there, and because he's used to it, it doesn't affect him. So maybe an outsider would not be able to tolerate it. But someone who grew up in this environment, someone who lived in that environment, clearly can handle it and can deal with the situation. Bali HaTosafot over here say that afar pir is no trikun from the word hafer. Hafer is afar pir. Is that something that you grew up with, you don't need to be mayfair because you can live with it. And what is being suggested over here is that the woman's not being rochets or not being mitkashet is not sufficient grounds for the husband to divorce her because he's grown up with her. He spends a lot of time with her. He gets used to her being in this condition. And therefore, it doesn't present him either with something that is menuval or dangerous. The dangerous aspect has to do with what the Rishonim discussed about kishut, whether kishut is only about kishut on the things that are presented publicly, the makeup or how she dresses and presents herself, or is kishut also deal with areas that are mutnaim, the covered areas of the body, and whether she takes care of those private areas in order not to create problems. And that's a shita or a view within Chazal that there could be problems created if the woman doesn't take care of herself or mitkashet, take care of her private areas properly, that can cause a sakana for the husband. So the Gemara's suggestion is that won't happen here because he's used to her, or that he spent so much time with her that these things won't affect him and won't be a problem. And so therefore, Rav Huna says he doesn't have a right of hafara. Tanya kavate de Rav Ada Bava. We have a braita that supports the position of Rav Ada Bava. Dvarim, sheish ben inui nefesh. When it comes to things that are inui nefesh, mefer ben beinod beina. He's allowed to be made for the nether, whether this inui nefesh is generated between him and her, or ben beina the ben achirim, or it has to do with her and others, another party. There he has rights of inui to be made for. Sheim ben inui nefesh. If it's not a nether of inui nefesh, beinu the beina mefer, then if it's an issue between them, he has the right of hafara. Beina the beina cherim, ain't no mefer. But if it's an issue with third parties, then he cannot be mefer in that case. That's the way that most of the Rishonim explain it. The Mefarash over here explains it as where the hafara will take effect. And when it comes to inui nefesh, his hafara is both good for himself and for others. When it comes to beinu the beina, then his hafara is only good for himself and not for others. And that is basically the nafkamina as to whether something's inui nefesh or beino de beina is the extent of the hafara. Does the hafara only apply to him? Or does it apply more broadly that it eliminates the netter entirely? That will depend if it's inui nefesh or beino de beina. So ketzad. Now the Breita brings examples of these. Now the Breita brings examples in the reverse order. It does not bring examples of inui nefesh first, but rather examples of beino de beina. Some things that are, some things that are not. Amra kunam perot alai. She says that I restrict perot on me. Harizeya fair. He has the right to be mayfair. And here is mayfair because this is beno de beina kigon. There's an example, konam perot ba'ala aleha, that she restricted the fruits of her husband upon her. Or ben beina the ben achirim, shastra perot achirim aleha. She restricted perot from others upon her. So these are examples of cases of beno de beina. Some instances where it's deemed to be beno de beina. In some instances where it's not deemed to be beino de beina. Kunam she'eni ose l'pi abba, l'fi achicha, l'fi avicha, l'fi achi, lo atin tevin l'fnei be'emtecha, umayim l'fnei be'karcha, ein yochol la'afer. So if she says, I'm not going to take care of my father, or I'm not going to take care of your brother, your father, or my brother, or I won't feed the animals, or I won't give water to the animals. In all these instances, he does not have a right of hafara, because this is not inui nefesh. And it's also not beino de beina because she's not obligated to perform these activities. She's under no obligation to take care of his relatives. She's an obligation to take care of her husband, but not his relatives, number one. Number two is in terms of feeding the animals, the Gemara in Ketubot says that she does have to do that. So all the Rishonim over here explain that it depends on how many shvachot she brought into the marriage. In a case where she brings in 4 shvachot to the marriage, then she doesn't have to do these activities. And he can't be mayfair. On the other hand, if she doesn't bring in sufficient help to the marriage, then she would be obligated to take care of these. And in that case, he could be mayfair the nether. Shelo echol, v'shelo echkos. I will not put on eye makeup. I will not put on blush. Shelo eshamesh mitati. I will not engage in marital relations. Yafer. He's allowed to be made for that neder mishum dvarim shebein ol beina, because that impinges or is a problem in their marital relationship. Shelo atzia lecha mitatcha. I won't make your bed. Shelo emzeg lecha etakos. I will not pour your cup. Shelo erchatz lecha panecha. I will not wash your face, yadecha v'raglecha, your hands, your feet. Ein tzarich lafer. You don't need any hafara over here, because these are items that a woman is obligated to do for her husband. Now this is even a woman who brings in shfachot and brings in all the help that she wants into the marriage. She's still not exempted from doing these things, because these are very personal and intimate items that helps to engage and further the relationship of the husband and wife. And therefore, these are activities that a wife should be performing for her husband in order to have that closeness and that kiruv halev that comes from these activities. So therefore, since she's obligated to do them, the husband doesn't have to do hafarah, because she doesn't have a right to override the shibud that the husband has over these activities. Rabbi Gamliel Omer Yafer. The Mefaresh over here had the gears of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel instead of Rabbi Gamliel, but most of the other Rishonim see this as being Rabban Gamliel. Gamliel says he should do a hafarah. Shenemar lo yachel dvaro. Should not profane your word. Davar acher. Another interpretation of that is lo yachel dvaro. That you should not violate your word or profane your word. Mikan chacham shein matir nidrei atzmo. The chacham is not allowed to be matir his own nidarim. You need someone else to be matir the neder. So now in this last section of the Braita, Rabbi Gamliel says that even though mi'ikar halacha, there's no necessity for hafara, nevertheless, we demand of you to do the hafara, shelo yachel dvaro, so that she should not be accustomed to profaning her word. So now, it seems from here that that's not a drosha, that he thinks of that as the pashtuta pasuk. If that's the case, then the continuation of the Braita is davar acher, here's another drosha, doesn't make so much sense, because it wasn't a first drosha to start with. So the Ran says, maybe there is a drosha here, which is lo yachel dvaro, that even afilu davar, even thing that is simply a dibor and does not chal as a neder, nevertheless, lo yachel, you should not allow it to become profaned, and you should be made for that. Why? Because we don't want the person to become accustomed to violating their nidarim, because in this case, the neder is not chal. But if we allow them to violate their word, they take nidarim lightly, and then in the end, they will come to yachel dvaro, then they will come to profane their word when the neder is really intact. So we've made for the neder in order to stop the person from coming to the conclusion that nidarim just disappear, we don't have to take them seriously. So now, if that's the drosha, then the davar acher brings you the alternate drosha, which is that the chacham cannot be matir his own neder, he needs an outside party to be matir the neder. So now, from this braita, we're going to prove that Rav Adar Ba'av is right, which is, man shmeinin damar shloi chol v'shloi kos. Who do we know has the opinion that one may not get made up? Dvarim shebeino lebeina havyan, that because these are items that are beino lebeina. But we know from our Mishnah that the Chachamim believe it's et kashet velo et kashet is dvarim shel inui nefesh. So who's of the opinion that it must be beino lebeina? Rabbi Yossi. It is Rabbi Yossi b'ketani de mefer. And it says that you are a mefer than the nidarim. Mishum dvarim shebeino lebeina. Because they are issues of beino lebeina, or these are brought as examples of beino lebeina. Now the truth is that this braita not only should be a proof to Rav Adar Ba'av, it should really be a tiyufta on Rav Huna. And the question of why the Gemara doesn't call it a tiyufta on Rav Huna is strange. Either you have to say that the Gemara didn't believe that this Braita had the veracity of a Braita of Rav Oshia or Rav Chia, that this wasn't known as a Braita that had such strength to it, therefore they were unwilling to use it as a tiyufta. Or you have to be able to explain this, it may be in a different manner, like we'd explained before, which is that Rabbi Yossi is speaking in the divrei of the Chachamim. That's not his position, but he's saying to the Chachamim, at least this should be deemed to be beino lebeina. So because maybe Rav Huna has a way out, the Gemara doesn't bring it as a tiyufta on Rav Huna. Amar mar, ushalo eshamesh mitati yafer mishum dvarim shebeino lebeina. Why is he being made for the neder because of things that are impinging on their marital relationship when she says, I will not have marital relations. Hey chidami, what exactly is the case here? Ilei ma da'amra hana tashmish alecha. The any benefit from my tashmish I restrict to you. Lamali hafara. You don't need any hafara. Hamishubedet lei. She's obligated. That's part of the marriage responsibilities. Both the husband is responsible to provide marital relations to his wife, and the wife is responsible to provide that for the husband. So she can't go and restrict her tashmish on her husband because it doesn't belong to her in that sense. He has the shibud, he has a right over it. Elabo merit, hanat tashmishcha alai. She reverses it and says, I will not get any benefit from your tashmish. So she didn't restrict anything that she's mishubedet to. She did it in the reverse, which is that she said that your tashmish will be restricted to me. Ukid Rav Kahana. And this is like Rav Kahana, which we saw earlier in the Masechta. Damer Rav Kahana, hanat tashmishi alecha. If she says, hanat tashmishi alecha kofe umisham shato. If she says that my tashmish is restricted to you, or hanat for my tashmish is restricted to you, we force her, we compel her to engage in marital relations because she doesn't have a right to take away the shibud of the husband. Hanat tashmishcha alai. If she restricts getting benefit from him on her, so it doesn't affect the shibud, then yafer, the husband has to nullify it. Shema chilina et adam davar asur lo. Because we never force someone to eat something or to engage in something that is asur to him, that's isur. So if we force her to engage in marital relations now, she will be actually violating her neder or engaging in something that is asur. She restricted his tashmish on her, and therefore that restriction makes it like he's a davar ha-asur to her. And because of that, we're not going to allow her to go through, or we're not going to force her or compel her to have relations. So what we say is, do the hafara in order to permit it. So man tana, who's the author of the position, adatanya, that we have in a braita, dvarim mutarim, things that are otherwise mutar, vacharim nahagu behen isur, and people have a minhag to be machmir and osir these things, iata rashad nahog behem heter, kedei levatlan. You're not allowed to act in front of these people as if there is no isur, or to deny the fact that there is an isur. Mishum shenemar, because the pasuk says, lo yachel dvaro. Dvar acher, lo yachel dvaro. Another limud you have from lo yachel dvaro is, mikana tamid chacham, sheinu mefer nidrei atzmo. He doesn't have the right to be matir, his own nidarim, but he has to go to another party to be matir the nether. Obviously he can be mefer, he can nullify his nidarim as a husband. But he can't, if he's not the husband, or if it's not Beino Lebeina, or Inu Nefesh, and you want Hatara, then even a Talmud Chacham husband can't be Mat to the Nether, he needs an outside party. That's because Ishto Kegufo, his wife is deemed to be like him, and therefore he needs an outside party to come and be Mat to the Nether. Mani, who's the author of that position, Rabbi Gamliel, that's Rabbi Gamliel, which we saw above, which is Rabbi Gamliel's Choshesh, that we don't allow things that are Asur to be made Mutar in front of people. We have to dismiss them properly so that the people don't come to the wrong conclusion. If we allow the woman just to violate the nether, even though technically the nether is not in effect, she'll come to the wrong conclusion that nidarim aren't so important or they're not so binding. So we're made for the nether, even though it's not necessary, in order that she doesn't get the wrong impression. The same is true here with regards to dvarim hamutarim. If people have a minag of isur here, if we just allow them to get rid of it and just act behet there, and people, again, when things are really asur, are going to do the same thing. So we don't want them to come to that wrong conclusion or get that wrong impression. And therefore, we say you have to be matir, the neder, or matir, the minog, in order to allow them this heter so that they don't come to that wrong conclusion. Now, that's obviously only in a case where they're aware of the fact that it's a chumrah that they're engaging in. If they think that this is the ikar halacha, then you can correct them and say that, you are acting this way, but that's not the Ikar Halacha. The Ikar Halacha is such and such. Now, if you want to be Machmir, that's fine, as long as you understand or you know you're being Machmir. So it's only in a case where they know that this is a Minag of Isur. Well, when there is a Minag of Isur, you shouldn't just willy-nilly release them from that Minag of Isur, but rather you have to go through a process of Hatara so that people treat Isurim and Minhagim with the proper respect and the proper reverence. So we do that by putting them through the normal process of hatara or release. And that's really Rabbi Gamliel Shita over here. All right, we'll stop over here. Two lines from the bottom of Pei Aleph Amud Bet.